everyone, it's Sandy Caldwell. Welcome to episode number 31 of Quilt Cabana Corner. I hope you'll grab your coffee, tea, juice, water, whatever it is that you like to have while you listen, and join me while we talk about fun quilty things. So this week the girls started back to school after a very fast summer. Amanda is in 10th grade, Lindsay is in 8th grade, and Leah is in 6th grade. Amanda and Lindsay have the pleasure of being in the brand spanking new junior-senior high school. This is a school that's housing 7th grade through 12th grade, and as I said, it is brand new, it's gorgeous, state-of-the-art, everything. They are lucky, lucky, lucky kids. And Leah is at the middle school, and she'll be there for one more year. So far, we're off to a good start. Few tears from Leah on the first day and the night before, but we've come to expect that. That's just the way that kid rolls, and that's fine. It's been a good week for me. I've gotten quite a few things done, which we'll talk about later. And let's see. I don't have too much on the agenda today. I didn't plan out too much because I figured it would be a little bit of a ramble where I haven't podcasted for so long. And I hate to say that, but it's true. And I thought I'd have more time over the summer. I thought in general I'd have more time to quilt over the summer. And that really didn't happen. So anyway, it's fall. We're back at it now. And I'm back at fall with a new hair color. I went on Tuesday to get a cut in color, and I don't know, I just felt like doing something different. My hair was so blonde this summer, which is a good thing, but it can be a bad thing. But I really just felt like every time I stepped outside in the sun, my hair was getting like two shades lighter, and my skin was starting to look really washed out by it. So went to the hairstylist, sat down, I was like, I need something different. So I went brunette. And I like it, and the kids like it, and Greg likes it, so I'm having fun with it. It was funny, though, because I kept saying, well, I'll go brunette, and if I don't like it, in 6 weeks, I'll just go back to my blonde hair color. So when I sat down in the chair, I said that to my hairdresser, Dawn, and she just started laughing, and she said, you can't do that. That's not the way it works. And I was like, it isn't? So she explained to me, I guess if you're going to go from dark back to light, you have to have some kind of decolorization process, something that I didn't quite understand, but I decided to go for it and be brave and do something different. It just, the time felt right. So, the darker hair actually looks better with my skin tone, and my eyes have actually, over the years, they've sort of gone from blue to green, so I feel like it's a good combination. So if you see my picture on Twitter or Facebook and you're wondering, who is that girl? It's still me. It's still me. I'm still in here. So, anyway, we went to Hawaii, as many of you know. We took the girls to Maui beginning to middle of August. Lindsay celebrated her 13th birthday there, which was lots of fun. The weather was perfect, as it always seems to be in Hawaii. This was our second trip there. In 2008, we took the girls, and Leah had her 6th birthday when we were there, so they were young. And we had said, oh, hopefully we can come back in 5 years and do some of the things that we didn't get a chance to do because the kids were too small to do it. And we did. We had the most incredible time and these unbelievable experiences while we were there. And the kids got along so well. There's just no fighting. And for the last few years, Lindsay and Amanda, just because they're so close in age, they're always at it. They've always been at each other. But in the last 6 months, maybe a year, that has kind of changed. So the whole tone in our house has become different, which is nice for me. No mom wants to see their girls fighting all the time. So it was like being on vacation with mini grown-ups, really. And they're great travelers. They've always been great travelers. 12-hour plane ride, you know, that didn't bother them. They had their electronics. They took naps. The flight home was a red-eye, so we all slept. It was fabulous. Really, really great. I did visit the Maui Quilt Shop, which I blogged about, and I had been there before. There are a few other quilt shops on the island, but I didn't really want to drag everybody there, and we were so busy doing stuff. It was relaxing because we went to the beach, but at the same time it was busy because we're always trying to see as much as we can see while we are on vacation. So I figured, hey, one quilt shop, that's good. And I bought quite a few things. You can read about it on the blog. I'm not going to go into detail here. We had a great, great time snorkeling. We went out on an excursion that was just the five of us and our family plus the instructor. And he spent lots and lots of time going over the equipment with us and going over a book that had pictures of all the fish and what we would see and what our chances of seeing certain things were. And he brought us out to what they call the turtle cleaning station, which was out near mile marker 14 if you were in Maui. In this particular snorkeling excursion, what they do, instead of taking 50 people out on a boat and dumping them and saying, okay, have fun snorkeling, you meet them at their building, and they very meticulously go over all the wetsuits, the snorkeling gear. They even went so far as to go and get Greg a prescription mask because he has glasses, so they keep a few different prescription masks on hand. Very methodical about the whole thing. We felt really good by the time we were leaving their building, and that took quite some time to get everybody outfitted with what they needed. And then we arrived at the beach, and we started from the shore. So instead of taking a boat out to the middle, we started on the shore and we swam out there. He was very attentive to Leah because she was the youngest. He had like a floating boogie board type thing that had an underwater camera on it. And he had said, you know, if anybody needs to float on this for a while or Leah's tired or whatever, don't ask, just get up on it. He was really, really great. His name was Jeff. We learned a lot from him that day, a whole lot. And before we even got in the water, we did talk about the turtles, which Leah was dying to see turtles. I think if she didn't see turtles, she was absolutely going to explode. So what we didn't know was that it's a $10,000 fine if you touch the turtles, and also a jail sentence. So the reason for that is because turtles have like a membrane over them, and the oils from human hands, it breaks the membrane, and then the turtles actually grow tumors wherever they've been touched. So plus there, you know, there aren't that many of them, and this and that and the other things. So, you know, we were told, don't touch them. If the turtles come up to you and they, you know, put their fin on you, fine, just stay there, whatever. So we did not expect, though, to go out into the water. We swam out to, as I said, they call it the turtle cleaning station because they're a little cleaner fish that come around to the turtles and clean them. And that's where we found, I want to say, 14 turtles. It was unbelievable to be swimming in and around that many turtles who just were not bothered by us in the least. And even the tour guide was just like, this is probably the fifth best day I've had out here in, you know, the 5+ years I've been doing this in terms of all these turtles hanging around. So it was very, very cool. Leah was in heaven that, you know, we were seeing so many. But it was funny because you float above, when you're snorkeling, you're kind of floating above, and we would see the turtles start to rise up like under our bellies, and then we would try to be really still because we didn't dare touch them. Oh, it's funny. But anyways, we had a great time. It was really such a beautiful vacation, very relaxed, hated to come home, knew once we got home we were going to have to be in the swing of school and finish up the school supply shopping and all that. So, but we're adjusting. We're adjusting to life on the mainland, as it were. The first week home, though, I think I was up till 2-3 in the morning every night for about a week. It was so hard to get over the jet lag. Going there wasn't really much of a problem. We kind of got into that rhythm right away, but it's definitely on the being home end of things that sleep cycles get a little out of whack. But anyways, while I was at the Maui Quilt Shop, I picked up a couple things, including a book called The Hawaiian Quilt, A Unique American Art Form by Linda Boynton Arthur. It's a skinny book, and I chose this one because not only does it talk about the history of the Hawaiian quilt, but it includes several chapters on modern Hawaiian quilting and modern interior design with Hawaiian quilts, and I thought that would be something really interesting. They also have a little section on Hawaiian flag quilts, which I thought would be cool to read about. So I have not read this yet. It's one of those things I'm kind of saving till the right moment. But when I do, I will talk about it or blog about it and show you some pictures from it. It's really, I can't wait to get into it. I'm just waiting for that quiet moment. Another little book I picked up was called The Book of Aloha, and it's a collection of Hawaiian proverbs and inspirational wisdom. And on the inside of the book, it explains aloha as being more than just a word. When you go to Hawaii, of course, everyone says aloha, aloha, when you greet someone and when you leave someone. And also when you love someone, everybody says aloha. So I thought it'd be nice to have it's just a little coffee table type book. But as it says in this book, people will soon realize aloha is not just a word, but a concept that is multidimensional, that it encompasses random acts of kindness, that it means giving love or affection to both close ones and strangers, and that it represents an attitude, a way of thinking, a spirit of living, a philosophy. And that appealed to me to read these little, there's like a little pictures, they're not cartoons, they're actual people, and they look like they're from the Honolulu Star Bulletin, which must have been their magazine or newspaper or what have you. A lot of them are older pictures. They look like they're from the 50s and 60s. And you get a little bit of Hawaiian history in it. And there's some quotes and just little anecdotes. And I had two in particular that just struck me that I liked, and I'll share them with you. One is a quote by a girl named Makana, and she's age 7. And she says, aloha is when there is a room with a million strangers, and then they say aloha, and then they are not strangers anymore. And on page 69, this one, oops, I just blew right by it. Hold on a minute. This quote is from a woman named Auntie Ermengarde Farden Aluli, and she says, the state of aloha can be created in an instant. It is a decision to behave with kindness, with generosity, wanting to give joy to one another. I don't know. I just thought that was so sweet. So treat everyone with aloha, you guys. Maybe the world will be a better place, right? All right. Now, on to, I guess let's talk about an update of what I'm working on now that the kids are back in school. So right now on my cutting table, I have my next project to submit for 100 blocks. Over the summer, I learned that my ukulele block is going to be in volume 8, which is coming out in November. So I will be on their blog tour again and helping with the giveaways and all of that. So by October 1st, the next one is due if you want to be considered, and I was trying to figure out what to do and kind of looking at all my Hawaii pictures the other day. So it is something Hawaii based. Hopefully they'll like it. They do, they do. They don't, they don't. My kids like it. They're like, can you recreate that for us? So I can't tell you what it is, but that's what's on the cutting board right now. Yesterday I worked on that. I also worked on basting the Christmas jelly roll quilt. I've had 2 jelly roll quilts and my card trick quilt on the end of my ironing board for well over a year. So the first jelly roll quilt I finished over the summer. The second one, I just now need to quilt it and bind it. And then that card trick quilt is probably going to sit there another year. But my pile's getting smaller, as Leah keeps reminding me, so that's a good thing. So I basted it. I'm actually just going to do straight lines, stitch in the ditch quilting on that because the backing has a print and all those little jelly rolls have a print, and I just think that no matter what I do, the quilting's really going to be lost. And it's a utilitarian quilt. It's going to be used. It's going in the living room, so it's not going anywhere. It's not winning any awards, as Alex Anderson says. My quilts don't win awards. Well, guess what? Mine don't either, so I really just want to finish this. So that's what I'm going to do, and then I'll move on to the next thing. I have some more patterns going up for sale with Quilt Woman. If you missed it over the summer, the entire school year last year I spent making 12-inch mini quilts, one for each holiday that can be displayed on the table, and those have all been turned into patterns and are for sale through quiltwoman.com. And she has lots of good stuff on her website if you've not been there to see. Please do so. Also, my Coming Down Chimney quilt is with her as well, so you can order that if you're looking for a quick Christmas project. But I have two Halloween quilts that really I should turn into patterns with her, and I just haven't had time. And now I feel like it's a little bit too late in the year. I have an Easter one maybe I'll do, so I need to do a lot with that. I've got to get going on that. And I brought home from Hawaii, of course, two other quilt kits, a sashiko kit. I think that was it. So I'll be working on those too. And I would also like to design something else and send it off. I haven't submitted to a magazine in a little while. I've just kind of been catching up on stuff, so I need to come up with an idea for that. That's kind of what I'm working on, aside from the many, many, many hand projects I have sitting downstairs. I brought my sashiko on the plane to Hawaii, and I don't know, maybe I did it for 10 minutes and put it away, which is sad because those were two very long flights, but I did catch up on a few podcasts, so that counts. And I read many magazines on the flight. And I also read the book by Joanna Peterson, who is on Twitter. She's Busty LaRue, if you're on Twitter. And she has self-published her first novel, and it was very good. It was called, oh my gosh, I'm going to forget the name. Oh, it was called Escaped, and it was very good, and it's the first in a series. So I think it was $3.99 on Kindle. So if you want to support Joanna Peterson, go ahead and order that. It was very good. I also read on the plane, and during the trip, I read the book Crazy Rich Asians, which was, it was a good book. It talks about, it's a novel about the very, very wealthy families of Singapore and China, and you just can't believe how much money these people have. But it was a story about a man who lives in New York, and he's a professor, and he was born one of the richest, richest families, and he has a girlfriend in New York, and they're both professors, actually, and he never really tells her how wealthy his family is. He's just never gotten into it because they don't talk about their families, and he invites her to go spend the summer in Singapore, and he never tells her, and she gets there, and she's kind of shell-shocked at what a life really he's come from. So it's this whole story. It's very entertaining, very, very entertaining. And I just also finished reading Where'd You Go, Bernadette, and that was very good too. That's written all in letter form, and it's pretty interesting. I keep sort of thinking about it. It's humorous, but it's also a little bit of parody about Seattle and the way that they are in Seattle, I guess. I don't know, not from there. Never visited either. Maybe Robin will have to tell us. I believe Robin Lawrence is from Seattle. Anyways, and I keep thinking and chuckling to myself this week about different things I remember reading in the book. And it was kind of a short book, but that was good. That was Where'd You Go, Bernadette. Now I'm in a book reading lull for a couple of days because our book club meets next week. And we are discussing Crazy Rich Asians. And I'm not sure what we'll pick, so I have another stack of quilt magazines sitting downstairs to get caught up on, so I think I'll just read those for a little bit until the new book choice is revealed. But speaking of magazines, I do have two here. McCall's Quick Quilts, October-November, which was a very, very thin issue. Literally, I sat down yesterday to drink a cup of coffee and have a biscotti, and I think within 10 minutes, I was through the whole magazine. There weren't very many articles in it. There were a lot of patterns, but I didn't really bookmark anything. Mostly probably because I didn't want to get chocolate on the pages. But, I mean, the quilt on the cover looks good. There's a couple of really pretty ones. There are some that kind of look the same. I'm trying to figure out what it is with McCall's. I know Frances is saying she thinks it's the palettes they're choosing that she's not really thrilled with. I don't know. I don't know if it's the palettes or just the fact that they use a lot of the same designers over and over and over again. And so I think it's just we're seeing their same styles in each issue. And it crosses over to McCall's quilting. But and on some of them, there's not a lot of contrast in the fabrics in the quilt. So I'm not sure what direction they're heading in. It'll be interesting to see where they end up going with this magazine. And I do like it. I like the staff too, and I like when they write things because it's always interesting. So McCall's Quick Quilts, like I said, that was kind of a quick issue. And then love of quilting I have here, which is, let's see, peel back my sticker, the September-October issue. So actually that came out a little bit ago. There were lots of nice quilts in this one. It's always heavy with the patterns. But I actually saw a whole bunch in here that I thought, oh, wow, that's really nice. So if you subscribe to that one, take a closer look at all these nice patterns. And Dawn Kavanaugh has a nice article on quilting borders. So that's probably it for the magazines. I'm going to pause for a moment. And I do keep a little list in my phone. I'm just going to confer with my list and see if I'm missing anything that I want to talk about. I did have a funny story to tell you about Leah and her little friend Meg, and I will tell you that when I return in a moment. Okay, so Leah spent some time this summer making little barrettes that had fabric bows on them. She would come into my scrap bin and she would pick out cute little fabrics and make them into a rectangle and scrunch them in the center and then pin them. And then I would sew them and glue them to basically a quilt clip, but they look like little barrettes. And she'd be very happy and off she would go with a new hair bow. So her friend Meg came over and they wanted to pick out some fabric and pin them and have me sew them. So Meg doesn't come in my craft room very often. Usually they're in Leah's room or in the playroom or outside or what have you. And she's looking around and we're talking about sewing machines. And the fact that I have quite a few sewing machines, some that are just on display, others, two that I switch in and out of my SewEasy table. So I always have one in the table and one on the floor next to it, plus my featherweight on the dining room table. So anyways, Leah says to Meg, oh yeah, she has so many sewing machines and she wants one more. And Meg was like, you do? And I said, yeah. And Leah goes, Meg, can you believe that it's a sewing machine? It's called a long arm, and it costs like $10,000. And so I interjected at this point, yes, and I go, yeah, I really do want that. I said, I'm going to have to bat my eyes a lot at Daddy to make that one happen. And Leah says, oh, I know. She goes, Meg, I'm telling you, a few years ago, I could bat my eyes like that with my dad and get anything I wanted, but not so much anymore. It was the funniest thing. I laughed so hard. I guess Greg's on to her now. She can't just bat her eyes and get anything she wants from Daddy. I just thought it was so funny. So anyways, I wanted to share that story. And I forgot to say two other things I'm working on. And those two other things are with all my photos from Hawaii. In the past, I would have scrapbooked them all. You know, all 1,000 of them, and it would take me a good year and a half to 2 years to accomplish that. So this time, I'm not so into scrapbooking anymore as much as I used to be. It's just a function of not having the time to do it. So I think I will just put them in a photo album, but one that you can write next to it, you know, with the pictures of. Plus the fact that not only did I take all these pictures on my regular camera, but I was also trying to take photos on my iPhone, because then I could just upload them right to Twitter and Facebook and share them all with you, and also to the blog. It's just easiest that way. So it got to the point in the vacation where I was being teased for having, you know, three cameras in my arms. They were just like, did you get that on the video? Oh wait, did you get that picture on your iPhone? Oh wait, did you get that on your regular phone? Bunch of jokesters. But anyways, that was the reason for that. So now I need to go through and filter out my doubles and stuff. But in looking at it, I felt like I wanted to do a project where I could combine impressions of Hawaii with some type of new artsy quilting, trying out techniques, having fun with it, so something small-sized. My thought was like small postcards that actually won't be used as postcards, but just that small, like 4x6. Then I realized 4x6 doesn't really, doesn't really give you a lot of room to try out a technique or even to get your point across. So these would be representational, not actual. So I settled on a 5x7 size. And what I did was cut three, just to get started, three or four pieces of Peltex, the double-sided fusible stiff stuff, 5x7, And I will experiment with my Shiva paint sticks, my hand-dyed fabrics, stamping, whatever. Just whatever I happen to feel like. Something I could go in on a weekend, Saturday morning, and say, you know what, I think I'll bang this out. But I have put it on my schedule so that I do try to do it, because I think it would be great to have a collection. If I could do one a week or one every 2 weeks, I'd have a great collection of these little mini quilts that are just impressions of the trip. So that is what I'm working on. And I'm also working on my free motion skills, just like everybody else. I'm the queen of stippling. I get that down real good. My skills aren't bad. I just don't really practice it enough. So I took out my Angela Walters quilting book that I got for Christmas, and I made myself some quilt sandwiches. And twice a week, I wrote it down in my new calendar so I'd be organized. I am going to work on a design or two from her book and just work my way through. The first two designs went swimmingly. The second design was a variation of the first one, and I don't know, I just had a hard time getting it. But I'm going to just allow myself to move on, because I don't have to perfect all these things. I just want to be familiar with them. So that's my plan. I also have the church quilting group, which probably started up again yesterday, and I didn't go because we are just having a crazy time with the buses in this town. Something happened with the bus schedules, and no one's been going arriving to school on time, and I'm having to drive the kids, and it's kind of a mess. So yeah, that's on hold until next week, I guess, when we start up again. I have no idea how I'm going to fit in the quilts for them too, but I guess maybe while I'm watching TV. That's my thing. I really need to get into quilting some at night too. And I think it's because I do spend most of my day quilting that nighttime comes and I'm just trying to get other stuff done. So I don't know. I'll figure it out somehow. And I also am seeing advertised. Sorry for jumping around here a little bit, but I've got so much to say to you guys because I feel like it's been a long time. Not that I haven't tweeted with you, whatever you want to call it. I'm seeing a lot of long arms advertised through Tin Lizzy, and they seem to be offering the 18-inch version of what I would equate with like the HQ Fusion for $5,000. And it looks like, I don't know if they're closing out on these machines or they're just trying to make it affordable. One is called the RAM long arm, which stands for Really Affordable Machine. So I haven't heard much. I've been trying to look it up to see if there's reviews and stuff. Just don't see a lot out there at this point on it. But it's something to consider if you are looking for a long arm in that price range. And let's see. I have school/breakfast written down. And I guess that's just to tell you that on the first day of school, I made myself be sociable and go out for breakfast with about 8 other moms, and I had a very nice time. And then I thought to myself, why don't I do this more often? And I always feel like I have to be in there sewing or cleaning or doing something. And I've been home for a lot of years now, which is fabulous, but I tend to kind of keep to myself, which really, I suppose, is a good thing but a bad thing too, because you can get, you know, tied down with your list of to-dos for yourself, and then you feel like, gee, I really should be out there a little bit more being social. So I made a promise to myself that I would say yes to the breakfast invitations. And I did say yes to the beach invitations, or at least one that we had this summer to go with a group of people. And it was fun, and it's always fun. So I don't know if it's like a quilter thing, because I've heard others of you out there talk about the hermit-like nature that we can sometimes take on with this hobby. So, anyways, I shall socialize. Anyway, I think that's about it for this episode. We're going on about 30 minutes. That's probably long enough to listen to me ramble. I'll try to get back a little bit sooner than I did the last time with some new things to talk about and let you know how progress is going. And, of course, check out the blog. I'm trying to update the blog twice a week. I also put that in my new calendar so I would remember to do it. So have a good week or two or however long it is before I'm back on here chatting with you all, and come visit me on quiltcabanapatterns.com. You can link to the blog from there. This podcast is on quiltcabanacorner.podbean.com and iTunes. Oh, and also thank you for the couple of new iTunes reviews that I have, Noni and Carol. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And also, you can find me on Quilt Woman now because I'm working with her. And that's about it. I think that's it. You can contact me at sewsandy8@yahoo.com. That's sewsandy8@yahoo.com. All right. Have a good quilty week, everyone. Talk to you later. Aloha. Okay, so here's a PS to the show, because I was just listening back and I realized that I said the RAM machine is comparable to the Avanti Fusion, and that's wrong because it's 18 inches and the Fusion's 24 inches. So it's actually comparable to the Avanti. Okay, there's your PS. Bye.